Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. We've seen in the last week some shocking events happening in our nation's capital. I'd like to try to put this in a wider spiritual perspective. I'm not going to talk about any specifics of the events or the people involved. I view the time that we are presently in as the beginnings of a prolonged period of spiritual upheaval that may well resemble, in some of its manifestations, may well resemble the period from maybe 1963 to 1975. River Master used to sometimes mention that every generation or so, there was a kind of political and social upheaval in China. I don't know if this is true everywhere, but it makes sense to me that there would be occasional prolonged periods of social and political unrest surrounding certain crucial issues in the life of a society, and that these periods of unrest might be separated from one another by sometimes longer periods of relative stability. This is not saying that during these periods of relative stability there aren't constant problems, because we are living in samsara. Samsara is this realm of suffering that we're in, and no one gets out of that. Let's just say there's a lot of raw karma being reborn constantly into this human realm. And so it's too much to ask that this be turned into some kind of heaven. You know, this is not a heaven. And I think, and I've said this many times and written about it, that in terms of doing spiritual training, this is a better situation than rebirth in a heaven would be. Because at least in this situation, we're reminded pretty frequently that there is such a thing as suffering. And we're provided with plenty of incentive to seek for the cause of suffering and to seek for and long for the cessation of suffering, and to find a path that leads to the cessation of suffering. The Four Noble Truths. Anyway, an analogy that we could use here is that of a volcano. Of course, there are different kinds of volcanoes, but I'll just talk about the kind of volcano that we live with here in the Cascades, which are volcanoes that develop over many thousands of years. Mount Rainier, for example, is in the neighborhood of about 1 million years old. In terms of geological time, that is very young. It's called a stratovolcano, and it builds up by periodic events in which lava and other material come shooting out of the volcano because pressures underground have built up to the point where this can happen. And these materials are deposited until gradually the mountain is built up out of these deposits. This doesn't happen every year or 2 years or 10 years or even every century. But on the average, I think Mount Rainier goes active in some form or other every few hundred years, every 500 years or something. And of course, in the course of 900,000 or 1 million years, you can have many such events. Hundreds of such events, even thousands of them, and each time the mountain is built up a bit. In between events, it kind of erodes down a bit. These volcanoes are outlets for molten rock that originates from a place far underneath the ground, from a hot spot far underneath the ground. And this lava, which can build up and build up and build up until it tremendous pressures develop and drive it up to eventually erupt out of the top of a volcano. This lava is a good metaphor for karma that during the quieter times is building up and building up and building up until eventually karma starts coming due and you start getting, as it were, the material being forced up to the surface and then erupting out. And these eruptions, both in the lives of individuals and in the lives of whole societies, can produce some pretty impressive fireworks, so to speak. Karma starts coming due, some of that built-up karma, starts coming due in ways that frighten people, you know, in ways that are trying, basically, to get people's attention, to look more closely at their actions. And this can be experienced by people, and often is experienced by people, as a very bewildering, frightening process. As these spiritual pressures build, people can get very desperate and do more desperate acts and make more karma very fast. This process is tough on many people. However, it can be very spiritually beneficial for many people. During the last major period of such spiritual eruption, most of the people I know who are Buddhist monks were drawn to Buddhism. And I became a monk myself in 1973. Using myself as an example, I was not drawn to Buddhism because of the tumultuous events of the late 60s and early 70s. In most ways, I was rather oblivious to them. I was on my own private spiritual search. And I was not very interested in those events. I wasn't a protester. I wasn't a radical of any kind. I was looking for God. I was looking for the eternal. And in the course of that search, I found Buddhism and I found my master. But I would not separate that profound longing that was in me and the deep spiritual tension I was experiencing and the confusion I was experiencing at the time from that of all the people around me who I knew. It's something we each go through individually in our own way, and we each go through it together with others. The other people I know who became monks around the period of the time that I did, they've got stories, most of them, pretty much like my own. There's this great spiritual upwelling that manifested in many ways. The more externalized ways were in terms of social and political issues, which, remember, always relate back to issues about the lives of human beings. And for that matter, the lives of other beings that we share this world with. But in the more internalized, more deeply spiritual form, there is just the pure longing for the eternal. And the karmic boiling and distilling and stirring and mixing and exciting that eventually takes a deep inner longing and makes one willing to really act upon it. At that point, we're very fortunate indeed if the ways in which we act upon it are not mainly destructive for ourselves and others, but if those ways contain within them that essential pure longing for the eternal that makes one ready, when all conditions ripen, to meet and recognize one's true master. Remember that saying, when the disciple is ready, the master appears. It's an amazing, inexplicable, and in my own experience, it's just like a miraculous thing when, after struggling in the dark, groping in the dark, and suffering deeply, one does find one's Sangha, one finds the way of the Buddhas and ancestors, one is led to one's teacher. That's certainly not the end of one's difficulties. That's just a new beginning. But it is a great new beginning. So in these times where there is social, economic, political tumult, there's this pandemic that is in the mix in a major way and stressing people. In the midst of all this swirling stuff, just remember that some of the things that are going to come popping loose out of it are more purely spiritual and will represent great opportunities for people to find their way to a genuine way of doing religious training. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.